A morning, today's daf from Pesachim Mem Aleph, we're in Mem Amud Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah. Yesterday, the Gemara spent all of yesterday's daf talking about chametz concerns. When flour or wheat is going to be put together with water, so there is obviously a potential of it becoming chametz, and the various concerns that the Chachamim had, and the various cautionary prohibitions that we learned about in yesterday's daf. Today's daf, we're going to be continuing along those lines. However, the Mishnah is going to make a comment regarding the Karban Pesach, and then oddly enough, a good part of today's daf is going to be about the Karban Pesach. Now, we will be talking about the Karban Pesach. I mean, this is Pesachim, and we will be talking about the Karban Pesach, but we're going to be talking about it extensively in Prakims 5 through 9. So, why over here in the somewhere towards the end of the second paragraph are we going to be talking about the Karban Pesach for nearly an entire day? So, okay. It's the placement of this discussion is a little bit strange, but it's not totally out of place. As we are in the Gemara Pesachim, let's start with the Mishnah. Mishnah is going to make 3 points. Number one, Inosin Kemelch Lasocha Roses, Olasocha Chardal. Don't put the flour in the vinegar, or don't put it in the mustard. V'im Nasin Yochal Miyad. Now, if you do so, you eat it immediately. So, the flour and vinegar, so it's a liquid. Now, it's not clear in the Mishnah whether or not there is water in this vinegar solution, or in this mustard solution. It's not clear in the Mishnah whether there is or there isn't water, but the basic idea is that vinegar and mustard is going to create chimutz, but not immediately. So what you could do is that once you have the flour, so you can eat it before it becomes chametz. That's the simple pshat of the Mishnah. Reb Meir says, no, you can't eat it immediately, and according to Reb Meir, now you have to be worried about the fact that it is, in fact, turned into chametz immediately. And so therefore, according to Rameir, you have to dispose of it. That's point number one of the Mishnah. Point number two of the Mishnah, Ein Mevashlis HaPesach, Lo B'mashkim Lo B'mei Peros. One is not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach, not with liquids, not with fruit juice. Avasachan U'matbilin Oso Behen. But what you could do is you could baste. Rashi over here, Sachan B'shasli Aso, while you're roasting it. So you're going to put on some sort of fruit based. Sounds delicious. Next, Rashi Matbilin, Vishas Achila. So while you're eating it, so you can have some sort of ketchup, for lack of a better term, that you can dip your Karban Pesach into. Okay, all this sounds delicious. It's really unclear why the Mishnah inserted this over here in the second parak of Pesachim. Okay, but it's here. The line is here. Tosfos already is bothered by it in terms of what's this line doing over here. But anyway, it is here, so, and the Gemara is going to be discussing it at length today. We're going to come back. The water that's used by the baker, the water that he's using in order to basically wash his hands, Rashi's description, so he's putting together the matzah, he's arranging the matzah, he's shaping the matzah. So there's going to be some cold water right next to him, and he, after having shaped the matzah, he's going to put his hands in the water. Obviously, there's residual flour on his hands that went into the water, and now that water is going to have flour and water sitting together. So obviously, there is a serious concern that that's going to become chametz, and therefore that needs to be disposed of. There are 3 points that we just went over in the Mishnah, and now let's go over the first point of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah is what happens if you put flour on either vinegar or chardal or mustard. So the Mishnah says that it has to be eaten immediately. And Shitas Rav Meir is that no, it needs to be disposed of immediately. Amar Rav Kahana Machlokas Laso Chardal. The entire debate that exists in our Mishnah, says Rav Kahana, is only when the flour went into the mustard. Aval Laso Charoses. But if it goes into vinegar, Divra Akol Yisarif Miyad. So it has to be burned right away. The Vitanya Nami Idach, we have a brisa supporting this as well. So Einosin Kemel Chasocha Charoses, V'im Nasin Yisarf Miyad. So here in this brisa, if flour goes into the vinegar, so it has to be burned right away. There is no debate on that issue. Now, Lasocha Chardal, now if it goes into mustard, Rabbi Meir Omer Yisarf Miyad, V'chachamim Omrim Yochal Miyad. So here a debate between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, what happens when it goes into mustard? So Rav Meir says that too has to be disposed of immediately, and the Chachamim say no, it can be eaten. So the So obviously, here, according to Rav Kahana, and in the Brisa we just learned, so there is a qualitative difference in terms of the chimutz process that exists between mustard and vinegar. Rashi says what's obvious, but Rashi writes on the bottom, Machlokis Tesharile Tanakama La Ochlamiyad, but no sin l'sochachardal. Lefishu Chazak. So the mustard over here is obviously viewed as a stronger item. And therefore, it will slow down the chimutz process. And that's not true by vinegar. Chimutz process will not be as slowed down as it comes to vinegar, as we just described as it relates to mustard. Good, so Rav Kahana, in our Mishnah, qualifies that the only debate that takes place between Rameir and the Chachamim is only regarding mustard, but not regarding vinegar. Okay, and the Gemara now passes like the Chachamim. Curious psak of the Gemara over here, in that we probably would have guessed that the halacha goes like the Chachamim, right? It's Yachid v'Rabim, halacha k'Rabim, but anyway, the Gemara passes like the Chachamim. Amle Rav Nachman, Yitzchak l'Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yehuda, Acharosus Kamar, O Achadar Kamar. So good. So I know you pass like the Chachamim. Is that when the flower goes into the charosis, or is that when the flower goes on the chardal? Meaning, we just learned together that Rav Kahana makes a distinction between the two, and the Gemara now wants to know that when you pass like the Chachamim, is that flour mustard, or is that flour vinegar? So I'm like, lemay nafkamina. So his response is, I don't see a difference. Lid Rav Kahana, meaning, oh, you're subscribing to the Rav Kahana viewpoint. You subscribe to that Rav Kahana who makes a distinction between mustard and vinegar. And he says, and I just simply don't subscribe to that distinction. Meaning, I look at the Mishnah and I see that the Chacham and Rameir are arguing both. They're arguing both on flour going into mustard, and they're arguing on flour going into vinegar. I just don't subscribe to this distinction of Rav Kahana. I'm Rav Ashi Kavasa to Rav Kahana Mistabra. Rav Ashi does subscribe to the distinction of Rav Kahana. It actually makes sense. Medam Rishmo and Alacha to Rav Yosi. Now we're going to go back to yesterday's daf, and we're going to remind each other. He says Alacha is not like Rav Yosi. Chometz is etzometz. That's what we learned in yesterday's daf. That vinegar, what it does is it constricts, and basically stops the chimutz process. So that's what we learned. And Shmuel says that the halacha does not follow like Reb Yossi. So my love to Musi Dolotzamis HaChamu and Mechama. So the Gemara says, well, if it doesn't stop the chimutz process, so that must mean that we're going to go in the other direction. Right now the Gemara thinks it's binary. Either it stops the chimutz process, or it accelerates the chimutz process. So if it's not stopping the chimutz process, it must be that it's accelerating it. Okay? And if that's true, so then the Rav Kahana distinction is very good. When flour goes into mustard, so chimutz does not occur immediately. When flour goes into vinegar, so it does occur immediately. Again, Shmuel Paskin's not like Rav Yossi, and so therefore must be going the other direction, that chimutz accelerates that the vinegar accelerates the chimutz process. And the Gemara's answer is, no. Meaning the argument that Rav Ashi just provided is not such a strong argument. And that is the malamitzamitzamitz v'lo chamu amichame. It's not a binary issue. In other words, we assume that vinegar either slows down the chimutz process or accelerates the chimutz process. The Gemara says, how about neutral? How about vinegar doesn't go in either direction? Okay. And so therefore, it could very well be that as much as the Chacham and Rameir are arguing about flour and mustard, they could also be arguing about flour and vinegar as well. Okay, so there is no definitive proof that Rav Kahana is right. So where do we stand right now in our first sugya of today's daf? So we have a machlokas in our mission between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. What happens when flour goes into either vinegar or mustard? Shitas Chachamim is that you can eat it immediately. Rav Meir says that you cannot eat it immediately. And then a discussion between the Amoraim and Rav Kahana says that we're going to draw a distinction between mustard versus vinegar. The debate between the Chacham and Rameir is only regarding mustard, but not regarding vinegar. And a subsequent machlokas of the Amoraim as to whether or not we subscribe to this distinction of Rav Kahana or we do not. Ein mevashlim. Okay. And for the remainder of today's daf, We are going to be covering the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach, obviously, a highlight of Pesach. A highlight, half of our Masechta is dedicated to the Karban Pesach. But today, we're only going to be dealing with one aspect of it, and that's the idea that the Karban Pesach has to be roasted. Torah's instruction is very key, is very clear. Ki im tli esh, Karban Pesach has to be roasted. It cannot be cooked, it cannot be baked, it cannot be prepared in any other manner other than roasting. Actually, a little bit later this morning, and just a few minutes from now, we're going to be talking about pot roasting your Karban Pesach. Okay, so, just right now, sticking with the basics, so you have to roast your Karban Pesach, and that, of course, means that you can't cook it. And that's what we learned back in the Mishnah, meaning what the Mishnah taught us is that you're not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach, not with mashkim, not with beit peiros, meaning even if I'm not using water, even if I'm using a fruit juice, nevertheless, it's still going to be considered an act of cooking, and therefore that's not going to be allowed, that won't be allowed to be done. As Sefer HaChinuch writes in terms of Tamei Mitzvos, in terms of the reasons why it is, the Torah instructs us to roast the Karban Pesach. The Sefer HaChinuch, as we know, gives Tamei Mitzvos for every one of the Mitzvos of the Torah, and so he suggests that the roasting of the Karban Pesach is to speak about the regal nature of the evening. Right, the kings and queens eat their meat in a roasted state. Right, they don't cook it. Right, cooking is what people with not as much financial means do. But if you're somebody of means and of wealth and of significance, so you roast your meats. And we want to show each other that we're no longer slaves and we're royalty on the Seder night. So we're going to be eating roasted meat. That's the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation. But be that as it may, we are going to be focused today on the aspects of the roasting versus cooking of the Karban Pesach. That will be the remainder of today's daf. We're starting at the two dots, Ein Mevashlin. Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara opens up with a brisa. Bemayim. The Torah says that one is not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach in water. Now, a literal reading of the Pasuk, a simple reading of the Pasuk, is that the prohibition of cooking is only in water. How do I know that other liquids as well are equally as prohibited? So Kavachamer, the Gemara starts off by deducing it through a Kavachamer Ma. Maim she'in mefigin ta'amam, asurim she'ar mashkin, she'mefigin ta'amam lo kol shekein. Water is effectively tasteless. And if I cook it in water, I'm violating the ratzon habore. So the same thing is true regarding other liquids, which are in fact going to change and alter the taste of the food. Right? Think of your marinades. So if I'm cooking in any other liquid other than water, where there I'm for sure changing the complexion and the taste of the meat, so for sure that's going to be prohibited as well. So this is what the Gemara now is trying to produce, an argument in terms of how do we know that the Isser of the Torah of cooking the Karban Pesach is not just limited to water, but other fruit juices as well. So the Tanakhama of this price learns it through a Kavachomer. Rebbe Omer, B'mayim ein le'ela mayim shar mashkim inayin tamalamer, Uvashel Mevushal Mekol Makom. The double language of the Pasuk of Bashel Mevushal, so that comes to teach me that cooking it in any liquid is going to be prohibited. So according to Rabbi, it's a drasha. So over here now, we are at the same conclusion between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. How do I know that the Karban Pesach cannot be cooked in any other liquid other than the water? Tanakhama arrives at the conclusion that it's Aser, based on a Kavachomer. And according to Rabbi, same conclusion, but based on a drasha. Now, obviously, if they're both coming out the same conclusion, my beinayu, well, what's the difference between these two positions? Meaning, if effectively they're saying the same thing, so then what is the difference? What is the argument centering around? So the Gemara says, yeah, there's going to be a difference. He coming out, Sli Kedar. So the Gemara over here talks about a pot roast. So I take the Karban Pesach, I put in a pot, no liquid. But basically now I'm cooking the pot with no liquid. Pot roast. So the Gemara says that's going to be a difference between them. Where is everyone going to stand on this issue? So, right, it'd be fun to figure it out, but I'm going to go with Rashi right now. So it's Li Kedar. Rashi writes, Shemavashno sobegedera below maim of lo shum mashke, ela maim aniflati mishmano. So Rashi over here describes pot roast. So you're basically cooking in a pot, no liquid. Now, obviously, there's going to be liquid exuding from the meat, and it's going to end up cooking in its own liquid. So, lamandi alafle me kavachomer hachashari. So, if you're learning it from the kavachomer, so it'd be fine over here. And presumably, the kavachomer tells me that it's water, and any other foreign liquid that comes in. But this isn't a foreign liquid. This is a liquid that's exuding from the meat itself. So if the Kal V'Chomer is getting you to the Isser, so over here, it wouldn't get you to this Isser. Now, the Rebbe, the Aleph Mi Ribuye, Hainami Basha Mevushal. Now, Rebbe says it's the Ribuye Basha Mevushal. Meaning, what's the Torah's Hakpada? What does the Torah not want us to do? It doesn't want us to cook the Karban Pesach in a liquid. That's Bashel Mevushal. And over here, obviously, it's being cooked in a liquid. Meaning, yes, it's producing its own liquid, but what the result is that it's being cooked in a liquid, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. Okay. So the Gemara now says that this is a difference. Comes out really curiosity. According to the Chachamim, so you can pot roast your Karban Pesach. Right? Again, working with the simple pshat in the Pesukim, that's not the impression. The Torah said, ki im sli esh. So it has to be roasted over a fire. Okay, so it is a curious conclusion that comes out over here in terms of the sheet of the Chachamim, continuing in the Gemara. Okay, so according to the Chachamim of the Braisa, you're learning it through a Kal V'Chomer. That means Basha Mevushal is not teaching me this point. What other point may it be teaching me? So the Gemara says, Mibai Lelechid Tanya, the following Braisa. Bishlu V'Achar Kach Salo, Shatsalo V'Achar Kach Bishlu Chayav. Okay. What if we do the following? What if we do multiple steps with our Karban Pesach? We cook it followed by roasting. Or we go in the other direction. We roast it followed by cooking. So the Braisa says Chayav. So one is going to be liable. What does that mean, liability? Meaning Rashi writes over here, you're going to get Malkus. Because you're eating now a Karban Pesach that is not roasted. And the Torah prohibits it. And it's a form of lav. And we're going to be talking more about the lav a little bit later this morning. So even though roasting was part of the process, if it was not just roasted alone, so one's going to be chayav. And according to the Braisa, it doesn't matter which direction I go, whether I cook followed by roasting or whether I roast followed by cooking. Now the Gemara analyzes the Braisa Bishlam Bishlam Vachakach Salo Chayiv HaBashlei. So I certainly understand that if I first cook it, then roast it, so then I understand it's been cooked and therefore subject to the Isser of the Torah. Elot Salo Vachakach Bishlo Hatzli Eishu. The Gemara says, but here's what I don't understand. If I roast it and then cooked it, it is roasted. Okay, so we kind of cooked it afterwards, or we did cook it afterwards, and it's not clear over here exactly how much roasting has been done. But still, the Gemara says, haven't you roasted it already? And so therefore, even if I cooked it afterwards, is that a big deal? So I'm Rav Kahana, I'm Ani Rav Yosihi. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's going to be a problem. And the author of that position is Shitas Rav Yosi, Detanya. The Braisa over here describes the following Yotzim, Brikika Sharu, Umavushal, Shloni Mokhtiv Reb Meir. So over here in the Braisa, we're talking about eating the matzah. And well, I'll give a little narration over here. You have difficulty eating the matzah, right? It's hard, it's crunchy, it's whatever. So you want to soak it. So according to the Reb Meir, the first opinion of the Braisa, you can soak your matzah. You can even cook your matzah. That would be fine. And Reb Yossi Omer, as long as it doesn't disintegrate. And Reb Yossi Omer Yotzim Berikika Sharei V'lo B'Mavushal, Afa Pishalo Nimoch. Now, Rav Yossi says that you could soak your matzah before you eat it on the Lel HaSeder, but you can't cook it, even if it doesn't disintegrate. Now, a lot to discuss over here, but just in terms of the basic pshat of the Gemara, what comes out from Rav Yossi is the following. And that is that Rav Yossi says that when you bake the matzah, followed then by a cooking, so now you have taken away the Shem Lechem. That is Rashi's language, and we'll look at the Rashi inside. Avalo b'mevusha d'lav lechem karina bay. So Rashi says after the matzah has been baked and then you cook it, it's not lechem. The alpha bishikvar nefar batan, or even though it was already baked in the oven, hov v'chazer ubishlo bitlo mitoras lechem. Rashi writes clearly that it's no longer lechem. The status of lechem has been removed because you cooked it. So over here the sheet of Rav Yossi. Now let's plug it into the Karban Pesach. Now it makes perfect sense. Meaning by Karban Pesach, if I roast it, follow them by cooking. So yes, roasting is what the Torah wants me to do. But once you cook it, you are now removing the Shem Tzli. It no longer has the status of being roasted. And therefore, it loses the status of being a roasted Karban Pesach. That is Shitas Rav Yossi, as we saw by Matzah, as we now apply to Karban Pesach. Now, the discussion to be had over here, I'll simply scratch the surface. And that is that can we take this principle and apply to other areas of halacha, notably on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, we're not allowed to cook, we're not allowed to roast, we're not allowed to bake. Now, we also have a rule regarding Shabbos of Ein Bishlach HaBishol, that there's no cooking after something is cooked, meaning once something is cooked, so then you cannot cook it again. There are Isuri Derabanan of Bechsei Kemavashol, but just the idea, just I'm dealing with the basic concept of Ein Bishlach HaBishol. So there's no cooking after cooking. What about the following? What if, let's say, after it was cooked, then you bake it? Or after it was cooked, now you roasted it. So is that going to be a violation of Shabbos? Presumably, what Rav Yossi would respond and Rav Yossi would say is yes. Meaning just like cooking the matzah removes the lechem status and it is considered a new cooking process. And just like the cooking of the Karm Pesach is now going to give it a new status. So presumably on Shabbos as well, it's going to be also as well. Rishonim debate this very issue. There is the opinion of the Urayim, right, the Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, who says that there is in fact Sli Acher Bishol and Bishol Acher Sli, and so there is that discussion to be had. Okay, we just scratched the surface. Anyway, all that to explain the Braisa, where the Braisa says that if I cook then roasted or roasted and then cook the Karm Pesach, so one is violating the Isra Torah because you didn't just roast the Karm Pesach. Ula Amar Filu Temer Rav Meir. Now Ula says, I'll tell you what, we can go back to that Braisa and we can explain it, and we don't have to limit ourselves to the Shita Rav Yossi, although generally speaking the Halacha does follow like Rav Yossi, so that wouldn't have been so bad, but we don't have to limit ourselves to the Shita Rav Yossi, we can even be going like Rav Meir. Shani Achad Amakra Ubasham Vusham Mikomakom. And it could very well be that as far as the Karm Pesach is concerned, the double language Basham Vushal, that comes to tell me that even though generally speaking, when I take matzah and I cook it, so that's not going to alter the state. And I would say the same thing in principle regarding the Karm Pesach, that if I roasted then cooked it, it doesn't alter the state of it being roasted. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah uses a repetitive language, Basham Vushal, as it relates to the Karm Pesach, that means that any form of cooking, even the cooking that's done after roasting, that also is going to be problematic. Okay, that kind of takes us to the end of that sugya. Cooking the Karm Pesach in other liquids, machlokes between the Chacham and Rebbe, the practical difference between the two, and what if I cook followed by roasting? What if I roast it followed by cooking? We continue in the Gemara. We are on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We are halfway down on the Amud, a little bit more than halfway down the Amud. Tana Rabbanan, we begin with another Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, Yachot Salu Kol Tzarcha Yei Chayev. Braisa over here is a funny Havamina, and that is, let's say, I roast a Karm Pesach, but well done. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that that's no good. So Tana Lamar, Al Tochumi Menunal, Vashem Avushah Bamayim. So the Torah's restrictions regarding the Karm Pesach is that one is not allowed to roast it partially. That's Nah. And uvasham uvasham amayim, and you can't cook it in liquid. So now uvasham uvushal amarti lach. So those are prohibited. But if it was fully roasted, if it was well done, so that's not going to be a problem. So we entertain for a moment. Fully roasted is problematic, but the Gemara of the Braisa concludes it's not problematic. Now when we say well done, we mean that it's burnt. Now here, right, without using the colloquialisms that we use. What does burnt mean over here in the Gemara? Burnt to a crisp? Hard to imagine. Meaning at that point in time, it's no longer edible. But anyway, you have to assume that it, on one hand, it's roasted, and at the very same time, it's also somewhat edible. It has to be. Atan Rabbanan, we continue with another braisa. Yachol achal kezayis chai, yei chayiv. Now, what if I eat my Karm Pesach raw? Okay, wouldn't recommend it. But the braisa over here is entertaining the idea that it's chayiv. Meaning, I didn't roast it, therefore, it's an iser to eat such a Karm Pesach. So, Tamar Lomar, Atach Lumi Menu Na, Vashel Mevushal. Na, Uvashel, Amarti Lach Velo Chai. So, good. So what we look at, it's the same point that we made in the previous Braisa, but it brings us to a funny conclusion. The only things the Torah prohibits by Karm Pesach is only when it's partially roasted or if it's cooked in liquid. Anything outside that would be fine. Now, the Gemara says, fine? Meaning, if I eat my Karm Pesach raw and I didn't roast it, that's fine. Yachli hei mutter. So, tamalam rakim sliyesh. No, it's not fine. Meaning, over here, if you ate raw Karm Pesach, So you are in a funny place. On one hand, you didn't violate formal Isurim of the Torah. You're not going to be eligible for Malkus. On the other hand, you can't call it mutter because the Torah wants us to roast it. So all we're saying is that if you ate your Karban Pesach raw, so you will be in a funny position of not being eligible to any form of Malkus, but at the same time, however, not fulfilling the mitzvah of the Torah of eating the Karban Pesach kim mitzvah so. Hechidami na. We say partially roasted. What do we mean by that? So Amar Rav, kida amri parsai avarnim. So Rav says, I'll give you an explanation of what it means that it's partially roasted. If you speak Farsi, I don't. Baruch Hashem, I have a number of people here in the Daf who do speak Farsi, but as is often is the case, the Farsi that the Gemara presents is not the same Farsi that they speak nowadays. In this particular example, I don't know. Hopefully, I'm going to get feedback later on. Anyway, Kedaami Parsai Avarnim. So that is in Farsi what is described as partially cooked. So if you speak the Farsi of the 3rd and 4th century and you know what Avarnim is, so you're going to have a great idea of what the definition of partially roasted is. What's the Na? For the rest of us, okay, that we don't have much else to work with. I'm Rav Chisto. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're on Mem Alpha and Aleph towards the bottom. Hamavashu b'chametzver b'shabbos patur Pesach. Ashabishu b'chametzver chayev. So, cooking in the chametzveria. I know this was a topic of discussion back in Shabbos, right? It's a good memory aid. So we're in Mem Aleph and Pesachim. So one daf off, but on daf Mem Amud Beis, this was discussed back in Masechta Shabbos. So on Shabbos, we talked about cooking in the hot springs of Tveria. So patur. So that is going to be exempt, meaning that that does not violate the Isra of Bishl on Shabbos. Now, as it relates to Pesach, however, if you're cooking in the Chametz Tveria, Chayiv. So that will be a violation regarding cooking for the Karban Pesach. Maishnav Shabbos Delo, they told us Eish Beinam Veleika. So the Gemara over here explains the difference. As it relates to Shabbos, so you need told us Eish. So cooking on Shabbos has a very clear definition. It has to be something that was heated by a fire. So Pesach Namilav told us Eishu. So the Gemara says, aren't we going to say the same thing regarding the Karban Pesach? That the hot springs are not cooked in a fire, not heated by a fire, and therefore should not be a formal bishul of the Karban Pesach, should not be subject to formal malchus. So Amar Rav, my chayv dekani, deka avar mishum tzli eish. Sorry, deka avar mishum tzli eish. So the Gemara says is that when we said chayv over here, we're going to have to give a somewhat looser definition of chayv. Chayv over here just simply means it's not roasted. Okay, admittedly, what comes out over here is not such a great chiddush. Meaning I cook it in the chametz veria, even though formally it's not told us eish, but nevertheless it's also not roasted. We probably would have guessed that, but anyway. Rav Chia bereid, Rav Nassan, Masni lelahad, Rav Chisa behedja. Rav Chia bereid, Rav Nassan, says over the statement of Rav Chisa, but he says explicitly, Am Rav Chisa, Am Avashu b'chametz veria, B'shabes patru, Pesach shebishu b'chametz veria, Chayev sha'avar, Mishum Tzliyesh. Okay, so now instead of guessing that this is what Rav Chisda meant here in the Brisa, we see it. In other words, in the Brisa it states very clearly that you're cooking in the Chametz Tveria. So what it is that it is a lack of Tzliyesh. It's not formal cooking per se. You're not going to be subject to the Malkus for having cooked and eaten that Karban Pesach. By the way, the Malkus is not for the cooking. The Malkus is for eating cooked Karban Pesach. That was clear from a Rashi we saw earlier. So you're not going to be subject to the formal malchus, but nevertheless, obviously, it's a lack, it's an absence of tzli eish. Okay, we'll pause for a second. Gemara now is going to be talking about the number of lavin, a malchus discussion. The Torah very clearly in the Torah articulates that the consumption, that the eating of the Karban Pesach has to be roasted. And if you were to eat it, either cooked or partially roasted, so that is an iser in the Torah. Al tochlu mimenu na. The Torah says that you're not allowed to. The word al is a lav. It's a formal lav. Al tochlu mimenu na uvashel mevushal b'mayim. Don't eat it na, which as we learned is partially roasted. And for the Farsi speakers out there, you have a better idea of what that means. And vashel mevushal b'mayim. And you cannot eat it when it's cooked. And this, again, falls under the same lav. and but rather ki im sli esh. But the Torah says, but rather has to be roasted. And so a discussion to be had in terms of the number of sets of malchus that one would be eligible for if in fact one violated these Yisurim Amarava. Starts on the bottom of Mem Alpha and Aleph, and we are about to turn the page. Achlu na lo kishtayim. So Rava says that if I eat my carbon Pesach on the Seder night in a roasted state, in a partially roasted state, so you are subject to not one but two sets of malchus. Two sets of malchus. Where's the second one coming for? Rashi writes over here. Lo kishtayim, top Rashi. Mishum lo sochel na. Umisham lo sochlu ki im sli esh. De ki im sli esh nami alav de lo tochlu kai. Okay, so there are actually two lavim that are now going to govern this action. Because the first lav is lo sochel na. Right? The Torah's formulation of the lav regarding the partially roasted. In addition to that, the ki im sli esh, and it has to be fully roasted, that also is governed by, according to Rava, a separate lav as well, and that makes you eligible for two lavim. So mivushal, Rava continues, we're back in the Gemara, we're in the top line. What if I eat my carbon Pesach while it's cooked? So look, ishtayim. So you're also going to be subject to two sets of malchus. Again, the Torah says, al tochlu mimenu na, uvasham mivushal b'mayim. We're assuming that basham mivushal is going back on the al tochlu mimenu, and ki im sli esh is also going to be a second lav. So when you eat it cooked, so it's one lav for basham mevushal, and it's a second lav for kim sliyesh. Now, what if it's now mevushal? Let's say you partially roast the Karm Pesach, followed then by a cooking of the Karm Pesach. Okay, so now you hit the trifecta. So lo kishal, you're going to be subject to three sets of malchus, one for na, one for basham mevushal, and the third one for the kim sliyesh. Now Abaye says, wait 1 second. Anytime you have a lav in the Torah that's going to be covering multiple actions, so this is what's called a lav shebechlalos, and Abaye says you don't get malchus for a lav shebechlalos. Now, Abaye clearly is paring down the number of malchus that one is going to be eligible for. How much are we paring it down for? Now, there are two versions of what Abaye means. One version is that you're not even going to be subject, you're going to be subject not to two, but to one. And igadami chadanami lolaki delami aser lavi kalav de chasima. And then, in another version of Abai, you're not going to get any malchus. Meaning, this is just a punishment discussion. It is usher in the Torah to eat the Karm Pesach, either partially roasted or cooked. That's not open for discussion. What is open for discussion and debated right now is, are there going to be any onshin, any punishments eligible for such an action? And this is a very technical discussion between Abaye and Rava about whether or not this pasuk qualifies as a lav shebechlalos. Abaye is of the position that it does. And in the second version of Abaye, you're not going to get any sets of malchus. And the only time you get malchus, according to Abaye, is where it's like the lav of chasima. The Torah says, lo sach tzom shor bedisho. That is your prototype lav in which you're going to be eligible for malchus. You have one lav lo and sach tzom shor bedisho and one action. If you muzzle an animal while it's threshing, so you are going to be subject to malchus. That and only that, according to Abaye, is when there is a possibility to receive malchus. Outside of that, anytime the Torah is covering multiple actions, multiple prohibitions in one pasuk, that's lav shebechlalos, and in Abaye version number two, you're not going to receive any malchus. Rava Amar, the Gemara now is just going to, for a moment, take us on a small detour, but as we're all going to see, the idea is going to be the same exact idea, just applying it to a different area in halacha. Rava Amar, achol zag lo kishtayim, chartzan lo kishtayim, zag vechartzan lo kishalosh. If you eat, now the Gemara in Nazir does have a debate in terms of which is the skin and which is the seed. We'll assume right now, all right, it's open for a debate, but we'll assume right now that the zag is the skin and the chartzan is the seed. So if you eat the zag, you're going to, the Nazir is going to receive the seed of a grape, right? Should go without saying, but I'll say it. If you eat the skin of the grape, you're going to be subject to two sets of malchus. If you eat the seed of the grape, you're going to be subject to two sets of malchus, Right, we're not going to go through the psukim right now, but the construct of the psukim, very similar to what we're describing over here by the Karban Pesach, zag v'chartzan, if you eat the skins and the seeds. So look, Shalosh, you're going to be subject to three sets of malchus for our nazir who violated now these three lavim. Abaya Amar ein lokin alav shebechlalos. And Abaya says no. Once again, looking at the formulation of the pasuk, it is lav shebechlalos. He could not be talked to the lalaki, chanami alaki. Now again, Abaya is certainly scaling back. How much is Abaya scaling back? So in version number one, it's not two sets of malchus, it's one. And some say no, that according to Abaya, you get no sets of malchus, much like we discussed regarding the Karban Pesach, where you either cooked it or partially roasted it. Tanur Rabbanan, Braisa continues, Achal kezayis nami ba'o yom. Let's say you eat partially roasted Pesach and you ate mi ba'o yom before nightfall. So obviously that's not the right time. The mitzvah to eat Karban Pesach is the night of the Seder. You shecht in the afternoon, you eat at the night. We'll be spending about five prakim, that's an exaggeration, talking about all the details regarding the Karban Pesach. But the afternoon is too early to eat the Karban Pesach. And if I ate it partially roasted before the evening, during the afternoon, an Erev Pesach, so pater, so you're going to be exempt. Meaning, you're not formally violating the lav. Now, kezayis na, mishechashecha chayev. If you eat a kezayis of partially roasted Karban Pesach and on the night of Pesach, so then fine. So now you're going to be subject. You're going to be eligible to malchus. Achol kezayis li mibo yom. Now let's say you eat a kezayis of roasted Karban Pesach, but again in the afternoon, not in the evening. L'pasal atzmo mimnei chabura. You are not disqualified from eating with your chabura. Again, a topic we're going to be discussing extensively later in the Masechta. And that is that you have to register with a chabura to eat your Karban Pesach. And certain things are going to disqualify your registration, are going to cancel your registration. And one of those things is if you eat the Karban Pesach of another Karban Pesach. So that will cancel your registration over here. If you eat roasted Karban Pesach, but not the night, but rather the afternoon, so that does not cancel your registration. Now, kezai tzli mishachashecha pasal atzma mimnei chabura. So, but if you eat roasted, meaning properly roasted, Karban Pesach, on the night of the Seder, and not of your Chabura, but somebody else's Karban Pesach, so that's it. That is a cancellation of the registration. Tanya Irach. And we'll finish this morning with one more Braisa, which will take us almost to the bottom of the Amud. Yachol achol kezayis nami b'od yom yechayev. I might have thought the Bryce over here is entertaining the idea that eating partially roasted Karban Pesach in the afternoon, you're going to be chayev. Vidinu and the Gemara now is going to try to argue this logically. Uma b'shash yesh na b'kum echot tzli, at a time where there is an iser to eat roasted Karban Pesach yesh na b'val tochal na, b'shash yesh na b'kum echot tzli, ain no din yesh na b'val tochal na. So what we think right now is that there is a direct relationship between when one is eating Karban Pesach and when one is prohibited from eating the partially roasted Karban Pesach. Right, and when there is an obligation to eat the Karban Pesach, there's going to be the prohibition. Basically, what we're entertaining is the idea that the mitzvah and the iser go hand in hand. The altid masharei huta mechalo etzol tzli, and the Gemara says in general, we know that there's a heter that exists regarding the roasted. So tamalamar atochlo mimenu nav hashal mevushav amayim kim sli eish shein tamalamar kim sli eish ma tamalamar kim sli eish. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says it can't be partially roasted, and the Torah says it can't be cooked. And then the Torah has to then repeat, and it has to be fully roasted. Like, wouldn't we have figured that out already? So, Matam Lomer, so what is it coming to teach me? Lomer lecha b'shashi yeshna b'kum echol tzli, yeshna b'val tochal na, b'shashi yeshna b'kum echol tzli, yeshna b'val tochal na. So the Gemara says that what the Torah is telling us is that the two are attached. Meaning, when there's a mitzvah to eat tzli, that's when there's an iser of lo tochluna and uvasham uvusha. Good. So the Braisa tells us that the only time that there's eligibility to be subject to the penalty of Malkus, to be chayiv on eating partially roasted or cooked Karban Pesach, is only when there is a mitzvah to eat the Karban Pesach, i.e. the evening. Rabbi Omer Ekra Ani Bashal Matzah Malam Mevushal. Rabbi says, look, the Torah says Bashal, it also says Mevushal. Right, the double language. Right, we already discussed this on the Amud Aleph. Sheyachol Ein Li'ala Shebishlo Mishachashecha. I might have thought that the prohibition of the Torah is only when it's cooked on the evening. So Bishlo Mebaod Yominayin Tamalam Bashal Mevushal Mikamakom. So Rabbi says that the Bashal Mevushal tells me that even if I cooked it during the day, and there's no mitzvah to eat it during the day, even if I cooked it during the day and then subsequently ate it that night, so one is going to be subject to the iser of eating cooked Karban Pesach. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, right? The Amud Aleph versus the Amud Beis of today's daf. And the Amud Aleph of today's daf, Rabbi learned out from Bashal Mevushal that Sli Kedar, that pot roast, is out of the question. And meanwhile over here, Rabbi had a different halacha coming out from Bashal Mevushal. Notably, that if I cook the Karban Pesach in the afternoon and then eat it that evening, you're also going to be subject to the Isser. So im kein lemakra o bashal bashal o mevushal mevushal. So the Gemara says that Rebbe is able to deduce both halachas. Why? Because even though the Torah repeated its language, it also repeated the language in an unusual formula. It said bashal. It said instead of saying bashal bashal or mevushal mevushal, my bashal mevushal shma min atarte. So Rebbe is able to deduce both points. Point number one is that any non-roasting is out of the question, meaning even pot roast is out of the question. That is the Amud Aleph. And on the Amud Beis, if I cook Karban Pesach, not the night of the Seder, but rather the afternoon, Erev Pesach. So if I were to cook it then, and then eat it later that evening, that also will be a violation of Bashal Mevushal. Good, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up, Tanur Rabbanan, we'll pick it up at the Braisa, towards the bottom of the Amud, and let's quickly recap our daf today. We started with a Mishnah. The Mishnah gave us three halachas. Number one, flour that is thrown either into vinegar or mustard. A machlokas in the Mishnah whether or not it can be consumed immediately or it has to be disposed of. A second point is that you're not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach in other liquids, but you could baste with using other liquids, and you can basically you could dip your Karban Pesach in ketchup. And finally, number three is that when the baker has got a bowl of water next to him that he's washing his hands in, so obviously, and he's making the matzahs, but that water has to be disposed of because that water obviously has got flour been sitting in it, leading to chimutz, and that water needs to be disposed of. Our first discussion that we had this morning, Rav Kahana, whether or not there's a distinction of flour going into mustard versus flour going into vinegar, and a debate amongst the Amoraim whether Rav Kahana's distinction is accurate or not accurate. Our second topic, which was really covering the remainder of today's daf, is going to be the second point of the Mishnah, which is that you're not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach in other liquids. It goes without saying that you're not allowed to cook in water, that the Torah says. The Torah says, "Uvasham uvushal b'mayim," you're not allowed to cook in water, but our Mishnah's Mechadesh, you're not allowed to cook in other liquids as well. How do I know that I'm not allowed to cook in other liquids? So that was point number one. So that was a Braisa. The Chachamim learned out based on a Kavachomer. Rebbe learns it out based on a Drasha, Bashal Mevushal. What's the difference between the two, pot roast? And then the Gemara went on to discuss what happens if we roast cook the Karban Pesach. What happens if we cook roast the Karban Pesach? Meaning we do two processes back to back. Is the second process going to have any impact on it whatsoever? The Braisa said no. A discussion of how to understand the Braisa. What if you eat raw Karban Pesach? What if you eat Karban Pesach that's roasted all the way, right, well done? So you're not violating the Isser. Now, in the case of raw, you're also not fulfilling the mitzvah. In the case where it's fully cooked, it's fully roasted, so presumably you are fulfilling the mitzvah. Good. What is the definition of partially roasted Karban Pesach, which the Torah prohibits? So the Gemara helps us understand it, but only if you speak the Farsi language. Rav Chista says that cooking the Karban Pesach in Chamei Tveria, so you are going to be chayev. Now, the Chamei Tveria is not heated up by the sun. It's not told as eish. And on Shabbos, you get a patur, you get an exemption for an act of cooking. And so the idea that for the Karban Pesach, you're going to be liable, isn't the liability cooking with something which is told as eish? So the Gemara clarifies that what Rav Chista simply meant was that it's not roasted. In other words, it's not formally bashal mevushal, but at the same time, however, it's not roasted, and you're just losing out the mitzvah of ki im tzli eish. Right? Certainly a fun question to entertain. I'll raise the question. I didn't mention it during the daf, but you're cooking the Karban Pesach in the hot springs of Tveria. Do you know how far outside Yerushalayim you are? And do you know that the Karban Pesach is only allowed to be eaten in Yerushalayim? Okay. Something to think about. The Gemara then had a technical discussion in Mem Alef Amud Beis. You eat the Karban Pesach which is partially roasted, or you eat the Karban Pesach which is cooked in liquid. So how many sets of matzahs are you subject to? So a technical discussion, but that's what the Gemara has. A technical discussion between Rav and Abaye in terms of whether or not you're going to be subject to two sets of malchus, if it's partially roasted and cooked, you're going to be subject to three sets of malchus according to Rava. Anyway, according to Abaye, no, this is what's called lav shebechlalos. Since there are multiple isurim encapsulated in this one pasuk, so therefore it's lav shebechlalos. Not clear according to Abaye whether he pares it down to one set of malchus, or he says that you're getting no sets of malchus. Those are two versions of the Gemara. This machlokus between Abaye and Rava of lav shebechlalos also presents itself with the Nazir eating the grape skins and the grape seeds. And finally, our last discussion of this morning, what if you eat partially roasted or cooked Karban Pesach, not the night of the Seder, but the afternoon on Yudalid Nisan. So you eat it then. Are you going to be subject to a formal lav? And the Bryce's answer was no. We had two Bryce's that make the same point. The formal answer is no. Rebbe's Mechadish said if I cook it on the afternoon and then I eat it later, even though if I eaten it earlier, you would not be subject to the lav, but if you eat it later, you are going to be subject to the lav. And Rebbe learns it out from the pasuk of Bashal Mevushal. Adkan.